am within colleagues.
You are within.
I'm within. I can't see your face, Honorable Chair.
Yeah, you are going to see it now. I'm just on checking the register who's here and who's not here yet.
So that's all right, Mr. Chief.
As well.
No problem.
We have systems in place.
All right.
Come,
yes.
Can you just quickly check on this thing of the roll call where all our names appear? Let's see how many people from the NA do we have in the meantime?
Yeah, we always ready ourselves.
We have Khadeva
with an H. Yes.
Good.
Hussein is here.
Yes.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah.
Hello, Hussein.
Hello, Che, how are you?
Then Pritikaba, Mam Gize is here.
Wonderful.
Yebo, Che. Gizela Operman is here.
I'm present.
Our all one and only thing you Mkhalisi is here.
Good.
Person Chairperson.
Inkosi Letuli is here.
Yes.
Umegito is here.
Now we form
yes,
in fact, on our side, we are full house. Except full that house. There's an apology of Honorable Khunevald. Yes. Honorable Khunevald send an apology. I'm still okay. Going to get the name of the honorable member whom I was told was going to alternate. I'll tell you the name once I get to the other.
If I can assist, it's Honorable Pluto from the NCOP. Good afternoon, Honorable Dudu.
Oh, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Honorable Khunevald asked me to sit in for this meeting.
Okay.
Fine, you're welcome, eh?
Thank you very much.
So,
okay.
On our part, NA side, we are here full house, all of us, as always.
We are eight.
Yes, as always.
As always.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello, Chairperson of MDB.
Yeah.
Thanks, my Chairperson. Good
it's
evening.
It's a pleasure to see you in this platform.
Thanks, my Chairperson.
Hello, Manyoni, NC deployee of Free State.
Yes, the deployee from the Free State who's helping EF to manage
the water.
Stop catching feelings.
But I think you can be ungovernable, you know it.
We are meeting now. Thank you very much, all of you honorable members. Let me once more take this opportunity to happily welcome all of you to this meeting. This is once more an important meeting, the joint committee meeting of the Select Committee and the Portfolio Committee of the National Assembly, where our focus today is on the Municipal Demarcation Board. As I indicated earlier on informally, this meeting is scheduled for 3 hours, where we are going to fruitfully engage with the Demarcation Board. Already the Chairperson of the Demarcation Board is here. Now I was talking to the Chairperson of the Demarcation Board earlier on, so that as he actually his presentation, we must be aware of the realities of our time, and one of those is that our president, the president of the republic, will be addressing the nation today at 8:30. And as we can proceed quite successfully with our project, with our program, we can make it possible that we finish earlier, much earlier than that, so that we also allow members of parliament the opportunity to go and listen to the president when he addressed the nation. Having said that, let me once more welcome the two deputy ministers, Deputy Minister Obed Bapela, who's here part of this meeting, as well as Deputy Minister Park Stau. Honorable members, you are heartily welcome. For the purpose of this meeting, I'm going to chair the first part of the meeting, in which we are going to receive the presentations, and thereafter, the time that members will be asking questions, I'll hand over to Honorable Faith Mutambi to proceed with that session until the end of the meeting. This is how we are going to proceed. Let me just quickly take you through those who are present in the meeting, and as and when I call your names from the side of the NCOP, you will indicate your presence to the meeting, and I will thereafter hand over to Honorable Faith Mutambi to do the same, to call all members of the National Assembly Committee, Portfolio Committee. They will also do likewise, and thereafter we proceed very, very fruitfully with this particular meeting. This is a third meeting that we are having this week, the same time, and the last meeting will be on Friday, where in which we are going to continue with the presentation of the commission that we postponed on Monday. Having said that, let me just call all members of the National Council of Provinces who are part of this meeting, and they must indicate their presence. Honorable Sileku.
Evening, Chair. I'm here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Mikalakis.
I'm here, Chair.
Honorable Shay.
I'm here, Chair.
Honorable Mutamai. Honorable Mutamai. Honorable Mutamai was here earlier on. We were talking to him. I'm sure he locked out or he's battling, but he will come in. Honorable Zandamela.
I'm here, Chair.
Honorable Mola.
I'm here, Chairperson. I'm here, Chairperson.
And Honorable Plute from the NCOP.
I'm here, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, wonderful. Over to you, Honorable Faith Mutambi, so that you also introduce the members who are present in the meeting. You are there already. You are not there earlier on when I was taking the roll call. Honorable Nita is present.
I've been around there.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much. Honorable Mutatwa. No, it's okay. Let's proceed. Over to you, Honorable Mutambi.
Chair, we had already introduced the members of the NA. Unless you then want to see their faces. David, show your face. Hi, David.
Can you see my face, Chair?
Yes, you are here.
I'm here.
Okay.
In full force.
Yes.
Then
the next one will be Brink.
I am here, Chair.
I know. And then the followed by Honorable Mpumza Gigi.
I'm here, Chair. I'm in, Chair.
Honorable H. Hussein.
I'm still here.
Yes, Pritika Vanchava. Yes, I'm still here, Mami Chair. Honorable Gisela Opperman.
I'm here, Chairperson.
Tlengi Wemkalipi.
I'm here, Chair.
Inkosi B.N. Luthuli.
I'm here, Chair. Thank you.
Magito.
I'm here, Chair.
That's it on our side. Thank you, Chair.
I'm present, Chair. Present.
Can you show your face? Please, Honorable Tessa KC. Day, yeah, you see it. Okay, over to you, Chair.
Okay. Handsome man, Comrade Tessa. Handsome one, Chair. Please say it.
Oh, yeah, today, Honorable Khalifi is on top for man.
Right, yeah,
look at you. Now, Honorable Members of Parliament, I will hand over to the Deputy Minister, Honorable Tau, to maybe make a statement or just preface the meeting before we go straight to the demarcation board. Over to you, Honorable Pastau. Any words?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good evening to honorable members and colleagues from the Demarcations Board. Of course, a good evening to the Chairperson of the Board and Dr. Emmanuel. I think that it is important that as we consider the presentation of the Demarcations Board, we also take into account the immediate pressures and challenges that they have requested to engage with the department on, which will influence a lot of issues with regards to their work going forward. In particular, there is pressure around the finalization of ward delimitation for the local government elections in 2021 and the meeting of timelines to enable the IEC to prepare for the elections. So the board is under particular pressure to address matters related to finalizing the process of delimitation of wards. But as we all know, the country is under lockdown, and the remain challenges with regards to their ability to meet timelines as the process was abruptly disturbed. This is a particularly important matter because it is going to impact significantly on the timelines that they are going to achieve and the work that they are going to undertake, and will put enormous pressure on the board. A second important issue, I think, to just highlight the fact that there is a process currently that has been initiated by Cabinet to go on a public consultation process on a draft bill with regards to municipal demarcations. It's not going to impact on the immediate next elections, but it's going to be a significant process to the extent that we are looking at matters of demarcations going forward and trying to stabilize the demarcations environment. But on that note, I think it would be the best place at this point to welcome the Chairperson and the team from the Demarcations Board, and Chairperson, we look forward to their presentation.
All right. Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. I will straight shoot to the Chairperson of the Board to address us on the budget, the strategic plan, as well as the annual performance plan of the Board. Over to you, Honorable Manyoni.
Thanks, my Chairperson. Let me also acknowledge the presence of the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, including our Deputy Ministers present and all members present from both the committees. Chairperson.
Chairperson Manyoni and Chairperson Dudu.
Yes.
This is a guest called very late. This mic is on. It's disrupting the Chairperson of the Demarcation Board. This guest called very late. Can we ask the person to mute his mic, please? His or her mic. Chairperson, you may proceed.
Thanks, my Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Now I see why our Chairperson from the NCOP is supposed not to consult and just decide. because every time he consults, he's the one now who moves his microphone. But nonetheless, Chairperson, I'm here with the Deputy Chairperson of the Municipal Demarcation Board, the CEO of the Demarcation Board, and the Chief Operations Officer, including the CFO. So those are the people who will handle difficult questions when it comes to discussions. Chairperson, let me first indicate that you once requested that we should also explain to the committee about a matter that was on papers, which involved the leasing of offices. I must indicate, Chairperson, we did send you correspondence on February the 17th on that matter. What I can indicate to all members is that we instituted a forensic investigation, and it concluded by indicating that due processes were followed in terms of procurement. But it also indicated that our committee, which is in the CEO, did not advise in detail on some of the matters, and we did take appropriate disciplinary steps in that regard. On the second matter, of which the Deputy Chairperson has highlighted, which is quite an important matter to us, it is the issue of the COD-19, which impacted on our public participation processes. But what I can indicate to the committees, joint committee, is that the MDB, that is us, we did also consult with IEC in terms of the challenges that we are faced with. And we have also agreed with them that we will try by all means to hand over the work that we are expected to finalize, at least the latest by November 2020. The intention is to try to give the IEC as much time as possible to start plotting on the voting stations, where will they be, particularly in those wards that have been affected by the delimitation processes. We hope that if we hand over by November 2020, at least the IEC will be able to do its work. In this regard, historically, MDB used to hand over the final delimitation process wards to the IEC 10 months before elections. Hopefully, we will still cover that period, even if it might be a little bit lesser. The IEC understands that it can't be business as usual, but they still will have some time to be able also to do their work. From our side, Chairperson, we have identified the provinces where we did have public participation. That is 4 provinces. And we were left with 5 provinces in total. So we have different time frames, deadlines, in terms of the public and municipal inputs for us to finalize our work. We have given them, I would say, some ample time. For the areas where it might be totally impossible for us to do public participation as we would have loved, we will consider those processes to have been totally cancelled because of the conditions that are prevailing. But still, we will be encouraging communities and municipalities and parties to make submissions to the MDB that we basically will be going out on. Very soon, the Municipal Demarcation Board officials will be on the public arenas, your radio stations, community radio stations, to explain these processes. For now, we have issued out a media statement, which the media houses will must have received by today, so that come weekends and so on, some of the information should be going out to the communities. Remember, Chairperson, we made a commitment in this term of this board that we will try by all means to make sure that communities are engaged, because most of the time we realize that the problems that we've been having is simply because communities either were not engaged or they were not aware of the processes, and then it became a problem mainly for the IEC and also for your election processes. So we tried by all means. Unfortunately, then we were then faced with the COVID-19 problem that we are faced with. But nonetheless, I'm trying to indicate that media will still be engaged to assist communities and so forth, including also municipalities in this regard. We are taking this process to be the most important process, unlike any other matter, so that we make it easy for the IEC government and parties to have smooth local government elections. And we think the basis starts with us here, my Chairperson. Chairperson, with that little explanation, I must indicate to members that we have issued a new circular, which is indicating new dates and so forth. I'm tempted just to say, Chairperson, my Chairperson, given the time frame that you indicated earlier, to say members will also have obviously the opportunity to look into that circular, and they will then be able to see the deadlines that we have put. We are trying to say for those provinces where public participation did not take place at all, we would love to have the deadline, in other words, to have written submissions for those municipalities to be extended to the end of July, so that we can also then start with the processes which normally follow after the written submissions have been submitted. So we are assuming that from the end of May, June, July period, members will be adequately informed about the processes, and they would have then submitted their inputs for us to do the necessary work. If you allow me, my Chairperson, I would hand over to our senior management to start giving also the presentation as expected for the night or the day. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Yabo.
Thank you, Chairperson of the committee, Honorable Dovu and Honorable Ntambi, and thanks, Chairperson of the board. I'm going to take you through the presentation, and in the event that I'm cut off, the CEO, Alwani Ramagaza, and the CFO will take over wherever I might be cut off. Let me go straight to slide number 3, which is just providing the outline of what I'm going to cover. I'm going to really cover those 13 issues that are indicated on slide number 3. On slide number 4, the purpose of our presentation is for the board to present the strategic plan for the year 2020 to 2025. As well as the annual performance plan for the 2020-2021. We are also going to give an indication of the MTF budget allocation and some of the challenges that we still encounter. This strategic plan, Chairperson, has been prepared in accordance with the framework for strategic plans and annual performance plan issued by the DPME. And the work of the MDP contribute directly and indirectly to two medium-term strategic priorities, and that is the priority 5, which talks about the spatial integration, human settlement and local government, and priority 6, which talks to social cohesion and safe communities. The slide that follows that one is just an indication of the board members that were appointed last year. Maybe for the benefit of members of the select committee is just to indicate that we have the chair there, Mr. Magnoni, we have the deputy chair, Ms. Mieni, who is also responsible for KZN, Ms. Jane Tupana, the former chairperson, who is responsible for Limpopo, Albert Kekesi, who is responsible for Northern Cape, Advocate Mutuelwa, responsible for Gauteng, Rita Appelgren Nakedin is responsible for Western Cape, Temba Duvazana responsible for Mpumalanga, Matthew Moke responsible for Northwest, Dr. Muhale responsible for Free State, and Ms. Namso Baliso is responsible for Eastern Cape. In terms of the institutional arrangement, the manner in which the board works, we have committees that the board has established to be able to deal with the matters of the board. We have got 6 committees. The first one is the governance, social and ethics, human capital, audit and risk, boundaries, powers and functions, research and knowledge management, as well as finance. In terms of the programs of the administration, we've got 4. We have administration, which constitute both HR and finance. We have demarcation and spatial transformation excellence. We have research, spatial information and intelligence development. And lastly, the stakeholder engagement and partnership. Broadly, just to restate the constitutional mandate of the board, next slide. The mandate of the board is derived from Section 153B and 1574 of the Constitution. And 1553B indicates that national legislation must establish the criteria and procedures for determination of municipal boundaries by an independent authority, while 1574 deals with the system of ward delimitation, and that's where we're driving our constitutional mandate. The next slide deals with the legislative mandate, which is the mandate that is derived from mainly 2 legislations that govern our work. That is the Municipal Structures Act as well as the Municipal Demarcation Act. Now, broadly, we have got those 4 broad mandates. 1, determination of municipal outer boundaries, which we are not necessarily focusing on now. And secondly, the delimitation of municipal ward boundaries, which is what our main focus is. And third is the assessment of municipal capacity, where we assess the capacity of municipalities to perform their functions and advise the MECs in the adjustment of functions between the Bs and the Cs, meaning the districts and the locals. And lastly, we have a role of rendering advisory services to all our stakeholders on matters that are relating to issues of demarcation. In terms of the next slide, Chairperson, we have just broadly outlining some of the achievements that we have had over the predetermined objectives. Those are the main ones. We obtained an unqualified audit opinion with no findings for the first time in 20 years in the 18-19 financial year. And we also, by the end of the year, in December last year, we had already done all the first draft wards for all the municipalities in the country and shared all those draft wards with the municipalities in the country. we continue to describe the spatial boundaries for a number of municipalities. In the last initial year, we focused on 57 municipalities. This is the project that is still continuing. I will explain a little bit on what the purpose of that spatial boundary is in the next slide. We have conducted outreach programs to strengthen public and stakeholder awareness and education of demarcation processes. And I will also talk to that in the next slide. One thing that is not there, Chairperson, is we got an indication yesterday that we must share with the committee our quarter three and quarter four results, which we did this morning. But in summary, in quarter three, we were focusing on 14 targets, all of which were achieved. And in quarter four, we were focusing on 16 targets, 15 of which were achieved, with one partially achieved. But because of the COVID-19, we know that is one of the target that will not be achieved in the financial year. In fact, what happened, we were supposed to engage 128 municipalities in the, from February and March. We only managed to do 109, and 19 were outstanding when the issue of COVID was indicated. That slide that we see is just an unaudited performance for that is indicated for the whole year. Just to indicate that the results that are unaudited are indicating that we'll have a performance of 95%, which is 1% short of the previous financial year, because of the indicator that I've referred to above. Now, in relation to our strategic plan, our mission, vision, and values, our vision is to have a partially transformed, just, and sustainable community. And our mission is to create a special condition for sustainable development and transformation of local government through municipal and ward boundaries demarcation. And we have around the five values there, which is transparency, impartiality, excellence, inclusivity, and integrity. Now, with regard to the broad strategic objective, in terms of the new framework, we are required to indicate one impact statement. Is the next slide? And our impact statement is to develop democratic, spatially integrated, and socio-economically sustainable communities. As indicated earlier, we are responding to priority number five, which is spatial integration, human settlement, and local government. And for us to be able to contribute to that particular priority, we have outlined four outcomes. One is organizational excellence, which is more focused on internal processes of the organization. And two is well-defined municipal spaces. Three is improved access to research and spatial information. And four is improved public and stakeholder participation. Now, on the right of those, we have just indicated the kind of outcome indicators that we will be focusing on. Now, the next few slides, I'll be getting directly into the annual performance plan for the 2020-2021. We have got those four programs, administration, demarcation, research, and stakeholder engagement. And the manner in which we have looked at those particular programs. Program one is going to deal with the organizational excellence outcome, and we have got 16 indicators. well-defined municipal spaces, we have got two indicators. Improved access to research and spatial information, we have got five. And improved public and stakeholder participation, we have got seven. And it will give us the total number of output indicators to 30. Just to indicate, Chairperson, that this year we have been instructed by the DPME that when we report, we need to also report on the on the operational plans which are not necessarily in here. Now, slide number 18, we are dealing with the program one. Like I've indicated, that program one has got 16 indicators. I will focus more on the indicators that we are having, because the or focus on the output and the indicators, and I'll leave the medium term target for the discussion. The first output is for us to develop a capacity maturity model. And the second one is the capability maturity assessment report, which will involve an assessment of the kind of maturity level that we are in. Currently, as the board, we don't have any assessment that we have done to determine the kind of maturity level that we are in. So that is meant to really determine the capability of organizational processes and continue to improve processes, the demarcation board. In terms of the other one is the implementation of board resolutions, where we, as management, we continue to look at what board has resolved and implement those particular resolutions as indicators. The fourth one is the reconfiguration of board committee report. It's more about the committees of the board being reconfigured to match what the new strategic plan is all about. And the other one is reporting on the compliance on relevant legislation. And we are also going to focus in the next slide on organizational performance review, review session. Just to indicate that this session is, this session that we are referring to as organizational review sessions have assisted the board in moving the performance to where it is currently. It is in this particular sessions where we look at gaps in terms of the implementation of our indicators and then provide intervention where necessary. We are also looking at issues of ICT governance reports, and this is important in the sense that mostly the Auditor General also audits our ICT governance environment. We also look at the vacancy rate of funded positions, training interventions we provide for our staff. Just to indicate, Chairperson, that we've got minimum number of staff members, but they are specialists in their environment. And normally we need to have continuous improvement in the manner in which some of the systems that they are utilizing are improved. We are going to also look at the reviewal of the organizational structure. Here, Chairperson, is just to look at the kind of people that we have and reconfigure and retrain so that we are able to be fit for the purpose of the strategic plan. We will have a survey that we will be conducting, and then we will also look at the matters that are relating to the improvement on our financial governance. With regard to the next slide, we have every quarter a budget monitoring report. We have a strategic risk register, which also has the mitigating factors where we look at whether the risks that we are having, we are able to be mitigating. There are also some of the risks that we do not necessarily have mitigating strategies. And then there is also the issue of the percentage of audit action plan that are implemented every year. Going to program two, program two has only two indicators and two outputs. Is the number of municipalities that are consulted on the first draft of wards. Now, if you look at that one, it's very important to indicate that we have indicated in 2021 that it was going to be 85 municipalities. Now, if you go to the APP, those 85 municipalities were supposed to be the first quarter. And they have been affected by COVID-19 because it's more about face-to-face communication and engagement with the communities and the municipalities in the delimitation process that the deputy minister has spoken about. Now, that particular indicator, we have spoken to DPME. They have indicated that we are going to be allowed to review the APP, looking at all the other issues that have been raised by other sectors or those that have been affected by COVID-19. The other one on the ward for all municipalities that qualify to have wards to be published, that one we will still deal with it. We will just reconfigure the quarterly target because we need to finalize that within the context of what the chairperson has indicated, because we have moved the date for submission of final wards to the IEC effectively to November. The next slide. The next slide, we have three outputs. One is the spatial boundary description for all municipalities. This is the last time that we'll be defining the spatial boundaries for all the municipalities. I can just indicate that this particular output, we are defining, we are doing a point-to-point description of a municipality. Sorry. And this has been going on for the last two financial years. So we were just taking municipalities in turns. And the purpose for that particular project is to provide certainty about the spatial location of a municipal boundary. The second one on ward profiles of all municipalities, we have currently 4,468 wards. What we are going to be doing is to profile all those wards in terms of the demographic information that is in that ward. And it will be disaggregated in terms of the population of that particular ward, the cross-sectional area of the ward, the age dynamics, the employment relation, the economic data, the traditional communities in that particular ward. So when you zoom into our system, a person will be able to know that the ward that he is in has got this number of unemployed youth, traditional communities, this is the population, and this is the cross-sectional size of the ward. The next one is the publication of wards, as I've already indicated. I went back a bit. The last one is the norms and standards for municipal capacity. Now, this project was motivated by the mandate of the board of doing municipal capacity assessment. We found that when we advise MEC is to say you need to adjust a function from this district to the local or from this local to this district. We are unable to say what is the norm that is required for a particular service. So we then came up with the project for norms and standards for all the 4B and 5B functions of municipalities. So that project is continuing, and we will be dealing with it in this APP. The next slide is about we are looking at evaluating all the demarcation cases that we have had, especially as it impacts service delivery and development. The reason is that most of the time when we are redetermining boundaries of municipalities, we find that people always align that with issues of service delivery. And the next one will be the research reports. We will be doing research on a number of topics. The colleagues from the core can share with the committees on those topics that we will be dealing with. The next slide is the issue around public awareness and the education events. Now, you will agree with me, Chairperson, that these are the projects that will also be revised because COVID has necessitated a review on the mechanism in which we have been conducting public participation. So we'll be revising this in line with how we will want to engage with the stakeholders out there. So all of the public awareness and education project, the stakeholder awareness, and the only one that we will not necessarily revise is the one on the social media post. Media publication, the next slide. We'll also deal with the issues of media publication and broadcast. We'll also do a report on the perception survey, and then we are really making a sort of a strategy, developing a strategy to ensure that a demarcation board is low. Now, in relation to the main focus area, slide 28, I have already alluded to all those particular matters, so I'm not going to really waste time here. I have indicated that our main project will be the development of a capability maturity model, the finalization of wards and the handover to the IEC in November, and the one on partial boundary discussions to be completed for the last batch of municipalities, and the ward profiles as I've indicated earlier. If you allow, Chair, I can move to the next slide, which is more on the overview of our finances. In terms of the overview of our finances, let me just indicate that I'll focus more on the medium-term expenditure framework. Just a correction on under total revenue on 2020-2021. The figure there is 68,143,000. But all in all, we have in the MTF, the board has been allocated 215,983,000. You will realize that under the surplus and deficit, we have not, we don't have anything even on the 2019-20 because we are still finalizing the financials. Treasury has extended the submission of the annual financial statement and the annual report to the end of July. So those figures have not necessarily been indicated. The next slide is more relating to expenditure relating to outcomes. The correction that I did earlier on 2020-2021 on the total revenue there is 68,143. So is that the balancing act that we have there? If I can go to challenges, Chair, we still face the same challenges of not having enough human resources. This has come in very much now when there was this issue of COVID-19. When we were told that we are reducing this thing to level four, we realized that because we are only at national office level, even if we were to go and engage municipalities individually, it was not going to be possible, because all the staff are at a national level, and there are no flights that are allowed to go to provinces. There is no accommodation. Restaurants are not open. So it becomes very impossible for us to be able to really say we were not necessarily going to extend the date of the submission of the award to the IEC, as the Deputy Minister and the Chairperson has indicated. The 1B1, this high dependence on municipalities to facilitate communication and meetings in communities, it became very clear when we started with the public participation processes for the 109 municipalities that we touched between February and March. You find that a municipality will give us a venue, and on the date of the meeting, when you are arriving there, you find that there is a note that has moved the venue to another place. And the community members start complaining to say, you guys, you need to be able to have resources to be able to deal with your own things. So the last one, I won't talk to it because the Deputy Minister has dealt with that. Now, the next slide is just an indication of matters that are emanating from the current ward delimitation public consultation process. We have seen quite a number of communities dissatisfied about wards that were splitting those communities. And the reason being that community members don't understand the legislative framework that governs the demarcation board, especially when we deal with the ward delimitation processes. The second one is lack of understanding of our processes. And this is not only to community members, even our principals, we had a number of them saying to us they want the demarcation board to add the wards. And some of them, you find these are the people that are the people that gave us the wards, and then they say they will add the wards. So that understanding is still a challenge. We have also seen the issue of safety and security of MGB officials. Although we had an intervention through the night joint, some of the visible policing were not seen in some of the meetings. One classical example was in Mpumalanga, when the people of Umjindi went to disturb our meeting, and they were taking tools of trade from our officials. And some of the things that we have also experienced is dissatisfaction of the current municipal boundary processes. When we are dealing with this issue of ward delimitation processes, we have found a number of communities submitting issues of outer boundary determination, even when we had issued the numerous communication that we will only deal with the outer boundary determination after 2021. What we did in that regard, Chair, was to accept those that say we will deal with after 2021. There are still communities that are dissatisfied with provincial boundaries. in several parts of the country, and continue to cause some strain on the work of the MDB. In conclusion, Chair, we look forward to the committee, to engage with the committee as the legislative review process that the Deputy Minister has talked about is being dealt with. Further, to engage with the committee on the broader mandate of the MDB, and also provide details on the status of the ward delimitation process, especially now that we have the board has now adopted a new program that will hand over the wards in November to IEC. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the wonderful presentation. I'm now handing over to Honorable Faith Mutambi to proceed with the chairing of the meeting. Over to you, Honorable Mutambi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I see a show of hands? I'll start with the colleagues from the NCOP who wants to interact with the presentation. NCOP colleagues?
They are here, Chairperson.
Chairperson, are you asking for evidence for questions now?
Yes.
Honorable Kutu would like to ask questions.
Mtetwa.
Mola.
Mtetwa.
Yes. Mola. I got it, Mola. Okay.
I got it, Mtetwa.
Zandamela. Is that all? NCOP colleagues?
Yes.
Oh. N.A.
Opperman?
Opperman? Maggi? So? So?
Opperman, Teza, so?
Kalipi?
Kosilutuli?
Kosilutuli?
Mam Kize?
Honorable Hadebe with H.
Hadebe with an H. Are we all?
Yes, Chair.
That's all.
Yes, we are covered from the NA side.
You are covered from the NA side.
Yes.
Armand, what is the surname again?
It's Clute, Honorable Chairperson.
Clute, eh?
Yes, so can I go on with my question then? Question.
Yes, thank you so much, Honorable Clute.
Thank you, Chairpersons. I just want to ask a few questions, especially on the public participation processes. We found that several emails as part of the public participation processes as comments and submissions were returned and were not delivered to the mentioned email addresses that was provided. This was particularly the case with comments for Ward 16 in the Nyakamo Dirimolema municipality in the Northwest. I would just like to know how it is possible that these emails were not received or delivered. So my second question is, how many comments, and that's to Mr. Magnoli probably, how many comments and submissions did the MDB receive for the four provinces where public participation processes were possible? And then lastly, we understand that the process was halted owing to COVID-19, and understandably so, but just to understand Mr. Magnoli correctly, as I read the media statement that he spoke about, the process of public participation will continue according to batch 2, as the media statement suggests. I just want to make that sure.
Chairperson,
that is talking in front.
Is it the birthday of the chairperson? The only mic that was on was yours, Mkaliti, and the one of the speaker, Honorable Klute, and the chairperson. Whose baby is it?
Man, I don't have a baby here.
Share, that's the baby. Share's baby.
Is the speaker
speaking? Meeting baby. No, can we make sure we take our kids away? We are in the meeting. Please, can we proceed?
Yes, Chair.
Proceed, Honorable Klute.
Other questions? Did they all come through correctly? Because
yes,
everyone
did. You have to say that there was a baby who was disrupting our meeting. That's why I had to interject.
Okay.
I'm done.
I just want to make sure my last question was, if I understand Mr. Manyoni correctly, the process of public participation will continue, and that's according to batch 2, as the media statement suggests. That's the media statement he was referring to earlier.
Okay, sorted. We got it right. We got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Claude. Honorable Mola.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. My first question, how do you deal with the dissatisfaction over the current municipal boundaries? My second question, which are the 4 provinces that were attended, and what about the other 5 provinces? And what are the comments, and did they attend to those comments? My third question, in what specific ways will the MDPs 2020 and 2021 APP take advantage of and strengthen the district development model? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Mthethwa.
Thank you, Chair. Mine, Chair, is the concern. Firstly, when you look at their program 3, Chair, this department is continuing to depend on the municipalities. So, what program, Chair, or what plan do they have that this demarcation board don't depend on municipality, because most of the time their program gets disturbed based on that. So that when they do their public participation, they can do it freely without that dependence of the municipality. My second question, Chair, when you look at again your program 4, they in line with the first question, they are saying that they will continue in enhancing the public participation. But if you look at their budget in that program, the budget doesn't talk directly to what they want to do. So how are they want to deal with that situation? I thank you, Comrade Chair.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Mthethwa. Honorable Zandamela?
No, thanks, Chair. Mine is on slide 30, on the challenges there. I heard that they are depending a lot on the municipalities. But in the challenges that they mentioned, that there is insufficient research and knowledge on management capacity. If maybe they can just the work that they are supposed to do, they are outsourcing it. So I just need clarity on that. What is it exactly that they are outsourcing? Because earlier on, I saw they introduced. In the delegation of management, there is CEO, CFO, and COO. And my second question will be about. I want to find out from the demarcation board if the Buhlabelo and Sanzeni region in Mpumalanga, they now amalgamated. And what is the status of Mbombela? Is it a city or is it now a metro? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zandamela. Honorable Opperman.
Thank you, Chairperson. The biggest challenge that the Demarcation Board currently have is they don't have any regional footprint. Therefore, they don't have any presence provincially. And you need to be provincially based in order to understand municipal dynamics. I want to know, where do the DMB feature in the new district development model? And when you add new boundaries through demarcation, you stress the service delivery challenges of that already debt-burdened municipalities even more with the allocated budgets that they have. So mostly the issue is not the boundaries, but service delivery. Where do you... how will you mitigate and solve this? And you said that due to gross underfunding, you are underpaying your employees and therefore you are losing skills as a result of this. And therefore you have an over-reliance on outsourcing. Is this still the case? And what solutions do you have in place? Now for the Northern Cape, the MEC COCTA published the number of councillors on the 20th of September 2019. So in my constituency alone, I will have 8 new seats and a couple of draft wards. These are both plenary municipalities with small budgets. I want to know what financial impact will boundary redetermination and ward delimitation have on these municipalities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Opperman. Honorable,
thank you very much, Chair. Mine is on the participation or on the dissatisfaction of the communities currently to municipal boundaries. I want to know from MDP, what their criteria has done in terms of making sure that there is sustainable local activities, particularly at Wat Theti in Elias Mutualedi, where communities there, rural communities between Swartkoppies and Laris Drift, do not have necessary resources or necessary service delivery that is needed there. So I want to know from the Municipal Demarcation Board what their criteria seeks to achieve in terms of ensuring service delivery for the people that are residing in boundaries, whether it has succeeded in the establishment of sustainable economic activities in those communities, because Ward 30 in Elias Mutualedi is indeed a big ward in terms of the number of votes that are needed to vote. Whether it has translated to requirement speed, the required speed of service delivery is concerning, Chair, because those people do not have water currently. During COVID-19, they do not have. They are confused. So what is the participation of that community? How much participation and how much consultative process have been put in place by MDP to make sure that they are quite aware and cognizant to the fact that they are in which boundaries and in which municipalities? Because most of the people there who live in Ward 30 go to Mpumalanga, which is next door. At Emakazeni in local municipalities. So every case they have to report, they report in Lyre Drift. So I want to know this criteria that they are using, whether it contributes to the economic activities. Number two, the the service delivery that is needed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Teza. Honorable Chow. Honorable Chow.
Can you hear me, Chair? Okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you, my Honorable Chairperson. Let me welcome the detailed presentation by Municipal Demarcation Board. My first question is with reference to current situation with COVID-19. How is the Municipal Demarcation Board planning to finalize the Demarcation Amendment Bill? My second question will be, a year ago, when the Municipal Demarcation Board appeared before this committee, they promised that there will be no outer boundary changes before the 2021 local government elections. What is the current status quo? In terms of another challenges, in the previous years, we have witnessed protests and burning of buildings due to adjustments of boundaries. A good example is Buwane. When the Municipal Demarcation Board adjusted boundaries, does it conduct in-depth research and analyze to avoid negative impact on the community? What strategic plan the Municipal Demarcation Board have in place in the current medium-term strategic framework in reducing spatial injustice, inequalities, and inefficiencies? A certain number of municipalities are dysfunctional. What are the possibilities of the Municipal Demarcation Board amalgamating those struggling municipalities? And lastly, in noting that responsibilities and jurisdiction of traditional leaders are not the same as municipalities, how is the Municipal Demarcation Board dealing with this issue? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Slow. Honorable Mkalipi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to get a clarity on page 31 of the document that was presented here by MDB. The matters emanating from current ward delimitation public consultations. The very first sentence when they said this section of ward split committees who will prefer to be in one ward. And they are saying in bracket, this will require policy and legislative review. They must take us through. When people are raising concerns, they are telling us that no, they'll need a policy and legislative review. And then when people are saying no, there's no policy that can address this. So they must unpack that for us. And the second matter that I want to understand, the other three items that they raised on the very same page, which speak to the dissatisfaction. I think, Chairperson, when we visited their offices as well, and I remember very well when Honorable Mam Mkize even said to them, we don't see you when you come to the ground as the board. Don't see you. I remember there was a catalog that they gave it to us. And Mam Mkize was also saying to them, "Ninika labo tata, and tata labo nihlanganisa omkhulu, nithi omkhulu senifikile njengeboard." But the whole community, they does not see you. And they said, no, they coordinate all this public participation through the municipalities. And you raise some sharp concerns as a committee to say that, no, they must also go and rework their coordination because we also belong to us. And we don't even hear about them saying that they are coming to do this public participation. And it's going to be very worse now, Chairperson, because according to the presentation, the chairperson of the board said that they manage only four provinces. And one of the members corrected, so please elaborate to us, which are those provinces? You know where the select committee, where the portfolio committee, but you are also in the dark. It seems as if there is somewhere where it's lacking between the board and the portfolio committee, because we also don't know which are those provinces. And if they can elaborate on us as well, the processes. If they have gone and do the consultation with the communities at a municipal level, and then how are the processes? Are they taking those decisions that they've taken as a board to where? Why is it straight? They don't come and share with us in the committee in order to be in the picture as well. I just want to get that clarity, Chairperson. On program one, since we met with the board, they always complain about resources. But when we check on the program one, they are saying that they have to ensure adequate and sustainable resources. And I'm asking myself, the very same board who always cry for under-resourced, how are they going to ensure these adequate and sustainable resources? I think the last point that I want to make, Chair, is that one member raised it, Honorable Zela, raised that they only rely on municipalities to facilitate this public participation. They don't have footprint. And I know the chairperson will come back to say, no, we are under-resourced. But the fact of the matter is that if you are dealing with wards, we are dealing with municipalities. If you don't have footprint in municipalities, I mean, you are not going to achieve what you want to achieve. So they must get their priorities. Because when the chairperson or the other comrade was introducing the... that because there's COVID-19, of which all of us we agree, so now they are going to go and publicize their work on media. But Chairperson, we know that most of the problems arises from rural areas. You can't be saying by going to the media and publicize your work. So therefore, everyone in South Africa, one, we are dealing with such important matters. Everyone from the rural areas of Limpopo will be satisfied about your work. So they must change the strategy. They must re-coordinate their work in order for the community to know to be accessible, not to be, I mean, at this level, we are also confused where to find them. We only know the board when it's coming to come and account to Parliament. But ordinarily, we don't know the board. They must be visible. They are working with the people, especially. This thing is very, very important when it comes to local government. So I'm trying to say, Chairperson, in terms of public participation, they must do better. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mkalebi. Honorable Nkosi Lutuli, there is it.
Thank you, Chair. In fact, Mkalebi has said a lot already. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to be there. Only now I think I will deal with one thing. When does the board is going to be to revisit the demarcation or the boundaries? Because we are having a problem as a traditional leaders, where one ward consists of five amakhosi, where the councillor is residing will find that there is a delivery on that particular
You have muted yourself. Unmute the mic, Ndavezida. Unmute. You are silent. We can't hear you. Unmute your mic.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I'm asking that. It's just because of the Amakhosi always be sidelined by the board, because the board is speaking to the municipality only when it comes to the area which consists of that five farmer course. It is done by the councillors as they like, which we don't like that, because the delivery, it's going on one side, service delivery is going on one side, and then when they are going to ask us as a traditional leaders to be present where they are doing this job, because really we are not satisfied because of that. I haven't seen them since they were established. I last saw Cycling who was doing this demarcation while he was sitting in Pretoria doing things on the ground. Really, we are not satisfied, really. Thank you very much.
Okay, Honorable Lutuli. Honorable Mamkize.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation from the board and the remarks from the board chairperson. Chair, I have a question to the board. As much as I welcome the presentation, it is very fruitful and understandable, but I do have a question. My question, Chair, is that as the body conducting the delimitation of ward, the delimitation of ward within the municipality or district, don't they think that it can disturb or impact negatively in the district model and methods as it introduced by our department? Chair, in the page, I don't know which page, but is a budget analysis. The board said the budget allocation to the board decreased by 0.4%. My question is that they think they will fulfill their mandate properly with the short budget. If they don't have the adequate budget, as they are saying their budget is decreased. Chair, lastly, and very important, Chairperson, my second question to the board is that, Chair, if the board knows about the unfinished project within the municipalities, the example that I may make about the Liqua local municipality, if you operate from the N3 going to Standard Hill, there are roads, unfinished roads for a long time. There are bridges, unfinished bridge projects of the bridges for a long time. My question is that, why did the board check first before they demarcate, so that they cannot take the dirty things that was done by this another ward to impose it to the another ward. Because if you can go with that road, Chair, it's a long-term Musuga Likwa municipality. It's a long time that road was like that. Potholes, unfinished bridge, everything. I think Jefferson, the board, it must help us to make sure that they won't make a big noise. And it's because of the COVID-19. Because people, they will fight. They will fight, and they will fight with so badly and trying to destroy things that have been built by our government. And a Chairperson, if when the chair's remarks said they will cancel some of activities like public participation due to the circumstances of COVID-19, as we know, I agree with that. But I asked the board that, what is the alternative that they will do to make sure that even people in rural area, they are participating in their ward delimitation within the ward and municipalities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mamkize. Honorable Hadewe.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Let me start by welcoming the presentation, Chair. I must say, out of all the colleagues that have spoken, none of them touched on the issue of the clean audits. I'm surprised. Even though it's not within our nature, Chair, to applaud the fish for swimming or to praise the birds for flying, I think we must give credit where credit is due, Chair. We applaud the board for obtaining clean audit for the very first time. And also their 2019-2020 performance against predetermined objectives. They've indicated that they've achieved 95%. Now that in terms of academic terms, it's A+. We would like to take this opportunity and congratulate the board. And it's under the leadership of the Chairperson. A job well done. Now, let me come to issues of paramount importance, Chair. On the presentation, they've indicated that in March, public participation was suspended due to COVID-19. And we still have 5 provinces outstanding. And taking into account that this was just the first draft of consultation, now, the first question would be, how much work is still outstanding in terms of days or months, so that we're able to quantify the extent of work that still needs to be done, given the fact that they've indicated that November 2020 is the date that is earmarked to hand everything to the IEC. Now, if COVID-19 and lockdown is extended for a longer period, what impact will this have on 2021 local government elections? Honorable Chair, having started with public participation in 4 provinces, and now we are informed that there's a new circular that has been issued with new dates, and the Chair is saying, if possible, in areas where they cannot continue with the public participation, the process will be considered as cancelled, and they are encouraging public to make written submission. Chair, we all know the background and the history of our communities. Not everyone is able to read and write. As such, it will be practically impossible for some of our community members to make written submission. Hence, this public participation acts as the way and a form of affording them an opportunity to engage meaningfully and to make verbal submission. Does the board think that the process will constitute fairness and justice, having had four provinces embarking on public participation and the remaining five might likely not to receive that public participation? Will that constitute fairness? And also, given the challenges that they've highlighted out of these four provinces, including the officials and some councillors, of having issue understanding the process and getting the grasp of the mandate of the demarcation board. So if committees will be requested now to make written submission, don't you think that will contribute in further confusion? Is there any other way that they can explore to ensure that the other five remaining provinces are also catered and are afforded an opportunity to engage meaningfully in a form of public participation? Chair, in the issue of improved public and stakeholder participation, the board is saying they are planning to have 80 public participation as their indicator. Out of 257 municipalities that we have in the country and more than 4,000 wards, do they think 80 public participation is enough? And if so, how did they arrive at that number of 80? And lastly, Chair, I'd like to get an understanding. Sometime last year when we met with the board, they indicated their intention to decentralize the board to provinces. I'd like to get an understanding, how far is the process? I did not hear or able to get the sense whether or not they have successfully lobbied in terms of making sure that the board reaches to the entire population of our country in a form of decentralizing the board to provinces. Thank you, Chair. That will be my 2 cents contribution.
Chair of the NCOP Select Committee, do you have questions before I put mine?
Chair, no. Chairperson. Chairperson.
Yes, who's calling me?
It's Mpumza.
I don't, oh, you, okay, did I omit you? No, I don't recall, but it's fine. You are given an opportunity before the chair. Honorable Mpumza. Honorable Mpumza.
Hello, Ban. Lali Network, shame.
Yay, the floor is yours.
Yeah, it's shame.
Mpumza.
No, I think Eastern Cape is having a challenge with the signal. He must also make a written. I think he must also make a written submission, as the board proposed moving forward.
Let's see. Let's get the chairperson and myself. Yeah. Maybe prior after that he might come back. Let's proceed. Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Mutambi. Mine is to express a word of elation to the board for achieving a clean audit under very difficult circumstances. And I want to say that in future they must keep up the standards and not lower them. And I really sympathize with the demarcation board, given the fact that they have not completed their task, which constitutionally they've got to complete. And in terms of the constitution, the elections must be held between August and September next year, and they have not yet completed their work. My question to them is to check whether do they have plan B under the circumstances. And if they do have it, they must share it with us so that we know that in case that the COVID-19 processes are delayed, what is it that we are going to do? Because the fact of the matter is, in terms of the constitution, the elections local government elections must be held next year during the time that I've already specified. Thank you very much, sir.
Are you back? Honorable Mpumza?
Hello, Chair.
Yes, proceed. I knew you were going to be back. Mpumza? Honorable Mpumza? Yeah, you're in trouble, eh? So we can't hear you. Let me then, in the meantime, be dealing with some few ones. And Deputy Chair and CEO, I see on the clean audit, you have a target that comes the next three financial years. Yes, you're going to be achieving a clean audit. So that is commendable, and we're looking forward to that, that there's not going to be any regression. It's a nice one. Then there was a slide, I think it's on slide 2030. My apologies. That deals with the evaluation of the, yeah, slide 23. It deals with the evaluation on demarcation cases. I see you have put the target for 2021 and then 2020, 2021, 2022 and 2023, there's nothing. I need clarity what informs that. I'm raising it with regard to, I know you tell us this is government's problem, but I'm raising it in connection also with your unresolved demarcation dispute that come every year whenever there's local government election. In fact, they even affect the national election. I'll give you a classical example of your Vuani one, Matati Yele, Kutong, just to mention a few. And then what has been the demarcation board's role then, if that is a government problem, in advising government so that these matters finally, they get finally resolved, because they are a challenge and they continue to recur whenever this election, these matters arise. And then we cannot fold our arms and just allow it to happen as it is, just so that it become a normal culture. I think at the end of the day, these matters have to be resolved. What is the Demarcation Board's view on this matter, and what role are you playing in making sure that government addresses whatever the issues are there that are standing. With regard to, in line with your ambition or commitment to obtain a clean audit in 2020-21, what measures I didn't see anywhere in your APP, where in you are putting measures to put measures in place to minimize irregular expenditure. Remember on your 2018-19 financial year report, you had a regular expenditure of 130,000, which the board incurred as a result of not following proper supply chain management procedures in relation to the 20 years of democracy conference. Has the board recovered this money from the responsible person, even though he or she is no longer in the employ of the board? Those are my questions. Can I check? Honorable Mpumza?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, ask your question. Honorable Mpumza? Then I will hand over to you, Chair, and the team. Over to you, Chair Manyoni.
Thank you, my chairpersons, members of the committee, deputy ministers present. Chairperson, although there are specific questions that need specific answers, let me also give a background on some of the issues that members have raised. One, members have raised the issue of decentralization and the visibility of the board. We have pursued this matter with National Treasury Chairperson, and I would like to remind members that this board is not existing in isolation. And National Treasury has been saying, we can assist you in having provincial offices or provincial existence. Unfortunately, given the fiscal and the financial problems that the country is faced with, we all know those problems, ESCOM matters, SAA, and so forth. They've been asking the question, for 20 years you've been existing in the manner that you're existing. Why can't you carry on whilst we are dealing with these other problems? So that is a problem that we are faced with. Hence, we could not then decentralize nor increase in terms of personnel for visibility and so forth. On other matters, Chairperson, the status quo is going to remain when it comes to issues of outer boundaries. We are not going to redetermine municipal boundaries for this period until, as we indicated in our first statute, until post local government elections. So in that case, the status quo, of course, will remain. Members, I would like members to bear with us and remember that when it comes to us, Ekuhlakazeni AmaWards, as the word was used, and us just coming in, probably not considering which Lekwa, Gunendlela, Engagqedwanga, and so forth, we should remember that the board only comes in after the MEC has gazetted the number of councillors in a municipality. And immediately when the number of councillors has increased, it means one or another, the wards will increase, unfortunately. So I think if we have to deal with some of the issues, we have to deal with them at the provincial level. But unfortunately, when a gazette is there, it's already a law, and the board then must act accordingly. We increase our award and so forth. Unfortunately, that's a process that goes with the way things are supposed to be. If we don't do that, of course, the board will then be found wanting. Members also ask the question on matters of outsourcing. In which areas are we outsourcing and why are we outsourcing? Of course, I've already indicated lack of human resources and so forth. But here, amongst others, in terms of umthetho, we are also expected to do in municipal capacity to check whether a municipality is having the capacity to perform certain functions or it can be given other functions in terms of your Schedule 4 or 5 of the Act. And in that regard, we get then external assistance to go to each and every municipality or to draw up the necessary questionnaires and so forth and to collate information. That's only in that area where most of the time we are basically doing outsourcing. But that issue of lack of financial resources, of which I've indicated, it has been a problem given the financial situation of the country. It then binds us again to go back to work with the institutions that are there, because we are working on wards in municipalities. Hence, we then have a dependency, if I must use the term, on municipalities to assist us with calling off meetings for on our behalf, arranging venues for on our behalf, and so forth. So those are some of the issues that become a problem, because we would not be able on our own to get our own venues, get our own people to make announcements. Although, I must indicate members, in most cases, we are also working with local radio stations to announce our meetings and so forth. Besides, for those who can read there, where we normally publish the dates on our website. And the same date, we submit to municipalities, all municipalities in the country. A member has asked, we have put an objective to say we will be having public consultations for 80 municipalities. That is in terms of the quota. But generally, we consult with all municipalities in the country. There's no municipality that we don't, including even in areas as our rural areas. For instance, even the chairperson of the demarcation board, and I know the deputy chairperson also has been going to other areas in KwaZulu-Natal. We've been going to rural areas. One example, I've been also in Mzimkulu, Ntabankulu, Mzimvubu areas in the Eastern Cape and so forth. So of course, the issue there is when the municipality says, this is the area where you can get as many people as possible. So we rely on that type of information also for our own public consultations. Members, the provinces that we have not attended to because of COVID-19, it's the Free State province, it's your Gauteng province as number two, it's Limpopo, number three, it's Northwest, number four, it's Northern Cape, number five. These areas that have been covered, Ushiege, Net Indaw, Isnani, Guzo, Eastern Cape, we're having three areas that we have not covered, Nguma Local Municipality, Sinku, and Walter Sisulu Local Municipality. Gauteng, it's all those eight municipalities that we have not yet covered. KwaZulu-Natal, we are left with seven municipalities that we have not yet covered. Yes, members, the issue of public participation is quite important, not only for us, of course, for the country, because we are a democracy that says South Africans' voice must be heard when it comes to matters that are affecting their lives. Unfortunately, and I think this is the matter that will be addressed through legislative review. I must indicate, we are doing this because we understand the Constitution and the spirit of the Constitution and the Act. But at the end of the day, the Act says we must receive written submissions. So, in other words, the Act, one can say, it is silent on those who cannot read or write. Hence, we were stressing to go out and meet with communities so that we can then be able to assist in having those submissions written. With your public reps that are in municipalities. But nonetheless, Chairperson, I'm trying to indicate public participation is important. And two, one member has asked, given the fact that in some of these provinces, public participation did not take place, will that constitute unfairness or not? Of course, it is unfair. But in terms of the Act, the Act doesn't say we have to. It says we must receive written submissions. So when we say if the situation doesn't change and we are still in the state where we would not be able to have public participations, we will really consider this program of consulting with communities, councils. But if the situation changes within the time frame that we have put, in other words, starting from the end of May or so, we will then try to have those consultations within the limits of the regulations, of course. But I must indicate, members, our intention, just like the IEC, ultimate, is also to have party liaising committees and officers to be able to be on board on the processes as we go forward. In other words, whether public participation or not, those party members who are representing all of you must then be able also to assist with the processes. We must also carry them on board. And also the issue on certain areas like Mwako Mwadira, which is a specific question, how many submissions have we received from those provinces, particularly I'm assuming submissions that are indicating that we are not happy with certain areas and so forth. How many of those? The officials of the demarcation board will handle those. From our side, and we have been doing that, Chairperson, I must indicate, maybe when those community radio stations were announcing, members were busy with parliamentary work and so forth, and they did not get information. But our intention, and it has been like that, that we always submit our program to those institutions also to assist us with taking the processes forward. I would like to give the opportunity also to the officials to go to specific questions as you, Chairperson, have asked, and also as other members have indicated. CEO, can you take over, please?
CEO.
Oh, thanks, Chairperson.
Can you put your camera on as well?
CEO, that includes
I put the camera on, Chair.
Oh, it's evident that you've got network challenges. The picture is so
you can't see me.
No, see, I can see you.
Okay, let me deal with some few questions that are specific, and then the CFO will deal with the question that the chair of the committee has dealt with, the chair of the committee has asked, and then Arwani will deal with the questions from Honorable Truth. Let me start with the question of Honorable Zanman, I can't remember the name correctly, about the Uhlabela and the Esandreni. We no longer have a district called Uhlabela. It was disestablished some time ago. And Mbombela is a secondary city. It's not yet a metro. Honorable Opperman, how will we mediate on the underpaying of employees? I just need to indicate that the board had conducted some job evaluations, 7 of them. The last one was in 2016, and we then took a resolution that we are not going to conduct any other one until this one is funded. Indeed, we went to Treasury. The little increase in the medium-term expenditure framework is funding the job evaluation outcomes that have been the results of 2016. And effectively, the demarcation board employees are going to be paid commensurate with their activities from the 1st of April this year. The other question from Honorable Opperman was around whether when we deal with issues of boundary determination, we are not affecting the budget of municipalities. When we deal with outer boundary determination, indeed there is an effect on the budget of the municipalities that you are redetermining. Hence the reason why we involve Treasury, because Treasury, when they use the equitable share formula, one of the determinants is more the population of that particular municipality. So it does have that kind of budgetary influence. And then they would be able to, Treasury would be able to align the budget of the two municipalities. But in most cases, sometimes it becomes less than what one of the municipality might have been receiving. And the implication of that, when you are amalgamating municipalities that are not graded the same, you might find that on this side of the municipality, especially on the HR side of things, a municipality was a category 6 and another one was a category 3. When you merge the two, there will be need for top-up funding so that when the positions are being aligned, those who were earning less because the municipal category was less, then they have to be given more money. But in relation towards delimitation, because this is an internal process within a municipality outside the outer boundary determination, it does not have an effect on the budget of a municipality. This question, Honorable Opperman, will link to the comment Mam Kize gave around unfinished projects in wards. I understood the context of that particular question within the context of saying when we were dealing with the ward delimitation processes, communities were saying to us, we were number 6 in the housing list. Now you are moving us from here to another ward. We are no longer going to be number 6. And the simple answer that we are providing is that we are just dealing with the delimitation of the wards, but we are not changing the municipal space where the project is going to happen. So that is the issue around the unfinished project. But directly, as the MDB, we don't consider issues of unfinished wards. With regard to, I didn't hear the name of the honorable member who was asking about the area, Elias Mtswaledi, what deity. But he was asking about the criteria that we use. The criteria that we use as the demarcation board, in outer boundary determination, we use the section 24, which gives us the major objectives of redetermination. And then section 25, which talks about the 10 factors that we consider when we do the determination of wards. And those we can share at a different level in terms of the implication of those. Honorable Mukalipi, on the issue of the policy review, the issue we are raising there, Honorable Mukalipi, is that the chairperson covered a little bit of it when he was referring to the norm. The norm will say to us, if you want to do a variation in the ward, you are only allowed a 15% deviation. Now, some of the proposals that we were putting forward to the amendment of the Act was to say, can we increase the deviation to 15%? Because if the norm is saying, in this municipality, the ward should be so many, you remember, Honorable Kalipi, that presentation, where we gave an example of a number of registered voters in a particular space as 1,000. And we indicated that when we are determining wards, it's an issue of numbers. It cannot be changed otherwise. So that is a legislative framework. It's not about the demarcation board because we are implementing that. And if we go against that, then we will have litigation challenges, and then it will affect the local government election. The the other matter will be dealt with by Arwan. Honorable Ndawe Zita Hoshi Luthuli, the issue of traditional leaders, the chair has indicated that we have been engaging with quite a number of stakeholders. At the level of traditional leaders, we even went as far as the provincial houses of traditional leaders. And I can indicate that I received inputs specifically from a chief in Eastern Cape. They said after they had engaged our processes of the draft was, and they submitted inputs, we responded to them, they reconfigured those inputs within the framework of the legislative process. Honorable Mula, the four provinces the chair has covered. And Honorable, so how will we finalize the amendment bill? I think the deputy minister referred to the processes that are now with the bill is now with the department. It will have to go through the normal processes of cabinet committees. After cabinet committee, it will come to the committee, the portfolio committee, to deal with the necessary processes that are involved. There is a matter around dysfunctional municipalities. How do we deal with issues of dysfunctional municipalities? Now, normally when we do the redetermination of outer boundaries, we follow a process. One is the initiative of the board. Now, the initiative of the board is informed by the capacity assessment and all the research work that we deal with during the course of 3 to 4 years towards the outer boundary determination. Now, the second part is it depends on an individual can make an application. And if an individual makes an application, then the board takes over, deal with the matter in relation to the criteria that I've mentioned above. The other third area, the minister can be allowed to change the program of the board in terms of Section 22.2. But he should have consulted with all the MECs or the MECs that are responsible for provinces. Then the board can, immediately after the minister has done whatever he has done, decide on whether they can conduct an outer boundary determination or not. I think the other questions, let me give to Arwani and CFO. Arwan?
Thank you very much.
CFO right there.
Thank you very much. Yes, Honorable Chair.
Mr. CEO, can we see you?
Yes.
Can we see you, Mr. CEO?
Thank you very much. Yes, it's me. Can you see me now?
Yes, and you're not properly dressed. This is a formal meeting. You must learn from your CEO.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks. With regard to a specific question from Honorable Klute on some of the emails that were returned, I can indicate that actually we're using only one direct email with regards to the whole delimitation process in order to avoid confusion. However, if any of your emails have been returned, you can actually send to me because it has been working all along. We have been receiving a whole lot of other submissions on that particular one, which was set up for this process so that people are not confused. So you can get in contact with us so that we can facilitate that you will receive your input. But we monitor that very closely, almost regularly, to make sure that it's functional. And you've also asked a question on the numbers in terms of submissions that we have received. You will note that we have run almost like a concurrent process since the beginning of the consultation. Although we were visiting people, we were also encouraging people to submit written input. And the deadline, first deadline was for the written input was end of April. So we took a count by the end of April. Obviously, that must have also been affected by the lockdown. By the end of April, we had something close to about 350 written submissions. That's besides the submissions we received from the actual meetings themselves. However, before then, we had already postponed or extended the deadline to, it was the 15th, this coming Friday. So we had extended the deadline, which we are now also, because of the condition, also extending to the end of May for all the municipalities that we have already visited in terms of public consultation. So we're expecting more in terms of written submissions for those municipalities. And then there was a question, actually a few questions that relates to process. I remember Honorable Mkhalipi asked about, actually she put it this way, something like, what is the process? How do you do your work? How do you make your decisions? And where do you go after you've made your decisions? Let me quickly just elaborate that. As the chairperson of the board has indicated, the act itself doesn't necessarily provide for the meetings as we are talking about them now. It specifically just say the Municipal Demarcation Board will determine and publish in a provincial gazette and ask for written input. That's what it says. So the board felt it necessary that, no, before we get to that point, let's rather get inputs from the communities so that we have something to work with before we determine. So the process after the consultations and after we have received all the input is going to be in this way. And that also answers the question in terms, which was asked, I think, by Honorable Hadewe, in terms of the time frame that we have or the work that still needs to happen. After the board has received all the written input, what we will do, we'll consider those and then determine what the act provides that we have to go and publish in a provincial gazette. In terms of what we are calling batch one, the idea is that those will be published by July. The process is, when we publish, the act enjoins us to ask for further engagement from the communities. This time we ask for anybody who's aggrieved by the decision of the board to submit written submissions. So they'll be given time between July and August to make their submissions in terms of the act. Thereafter, the board will consider those objections and then publish final words. The first batch, we are targeting that by September, we will submit final words for batch one to the Independent Electoral Commission. Then there's these other municipalities that we haven't as yet consulted. So as the chairperson has indicated, we're most likely going to do the consultation as planned now, depending obviously on the status of the coronavirus issue. We will do those consultations. However, we have given them until the end of July for written submissions. Thereafter, the same process that I've described earlier will start, where we will publish. This time around, we will publish in September for objections. So people will be given another chance to make their input, and thereafter we'll finalize the words and hand over to the IEC in November. All these processes that I've described are those that are provided for in terms of the Demarcation Act itself. Then there was a question about I'm just looking here as to which ones have not been answered. The CEO has answered the question on the criteria for ward delimitation and the criteria for municipal boundary change. Yes, our impact, or rather our role with regards to the district development model. The chairperson and the CEO have indicated that we are not going to touch municipal boundary, outer boundaries in this period until after the election. So our role is to make sure that we provide some stability in terms of that, because that model is also dependent on the current district boundaries. So the Municipal Demarcation Board will have to be conscious, even after the elections when we do municipal boundary changes, that we do not cause unnecessary instability. However, that's only going to happen after the local government election. The other thing that we are looking at in terms of municipal boundaries and our role with district development model is to the fact that actually there was a question that was asked about the wards as well. Wards are inside the municipal boundary. So because we're not going to touch the outside of the municipal boundary, so ward delimitation will not negatively affect that particular process because we're working on the inside of the municipalities themselves. And then there was also an issue of whether you've got a plan B with regards to ward delimitation process. Actually, the setup that I just described now, where we're going to hand over to the IEC by November, it has taken care of all the eventualities to make sure that the Municipal Demarcation Board meets its objectives of finalizing ward boundaries before the local government elections. So we have looked at, we've considered all the eventualities, and to an extent that the board will be able to meet its obligations and hand over to the IEC by November. I think those are and the other one was with regards to what role are we contributing to make sure that there's stability in the country, but also in addressing some of the outstanding municipal boundary issues. An example by the chair was given about Vuani and all the other areas. Like we are saying, as much as in the MTEF, we haven't indicated the municipal boundary determination as a process. As part of that, outcome, after the local government election, that's when we will start the process, and people will be allowed, besides those who have already sent in their applications, to apply to the Municipal Demarcation Board on how they would want their municipalities to be configured. So that process will certainly be dealt with after the local government election. Thanks.
Thank you. See you, Ms. Badji. CFO, sorry. There was a question for you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. With regard to, oh my gosh, what happened? With regard to irregular expenditure, the particular irregular expenditure that was incurred in the previous financial year was with regard to the publication in newspapers without following due process. So according to National Treasury Irregular Expenditure Framework,
Arun, there was a question from the chair.
No, you still, okay, is it the CEO? The CEO is interjecting. Ms. Badji, proceed.
Okay, so according to the National National Treasury Irregular Expenditure Framework, where recovery is required is if there's a loss that has been incurred by the institution. So in this case, the publication happened, so there was no loss incurred. So the only step that needed to be taken there was for a disciplinary process, which employer-employee relationship with the employee who was dismissed. Thank you.
See you.
Yes, Chair.
Did she adequately respond to the all questions? Because I think you were raising the other one with her.
There is one that you asked, Chair, about what are the measures that are in place to ensure that we do not regress from the clean audit, and what are the measures? CFO, should I shoot on that?
Yes, please.
Chairperson, the measures that the plan that we have is more detailed.
Put on your camera, see you. Put on your camera so that we can see you.
Thanks, Chairperson. The measures that are in place are defined in the audit action plan. That's where we have most of the measures that we are implementing to ensure that we maintain the standards that we have set for ourselves. But I can say that indeed it's a tall order. Because we are learning in the game. If after 20 years we were unable to really get a clean audit, we need to really maintain, and that is what management has been instructed to do. But I also wanted Chair, the COO to come back on the question that you had raised around the evaluation of the demarcation cases. Because I think he didn't talk to that. Arwan, if you can come back on that.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yes.
Can you move back? Arwan, can you move back a bit? You can't see. You are only seeing your bed. Yes. That's better.
Thank you. Okay. Project or that we are going to be doing this year, it was necessitated by the fact that we have been demarcating. In most cases, when people submit their applications for a redetermination of a municipal boundary, they will say that in our area, we would want to be excluded. I'm just citing an example from Tshwane, for example, and be included in the city of Johannesburg because the city of Tshwane is not providing, for example, water. Therefore, we think if we are in the city of Johannesburg, that particular service will be provided much better. So what we are doing is, we are looking at a few cases that of redeterminations that we have done before on request by communities to check if indeed the change of a municipal boundary has resulted in a desired state as the community has requested. So what we will do, it's like a case study to inform us so that we don't just determine municipal boundaries thinking that all is going to be well, whilst actually the communities are not going to benefit out of the changes. So that's what we are doing. That's why we've picked a few cases. And that's the one way I was saying, as we go to the after the local government elections, that particular output will then include also the redetermination of municipal boundaries, but only after the local government elections.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Any final words, Chairperson?
Chairperson of the Demarcation Board. Just a second. I'm okay. I'm quite satisfied that ultimately the Demarcation Board presented and we know what are their plans, their budgets, and their limitations. We also understand the challenges that they are facing in the face of COVID-19, and we also know and understand better what is the strategic plan of the Demarcation Board, and going forward, we are going to continue to assess their performance, and I just say to them, good luck, let us get it on. The work ahead of us is quite enormous, but we need to confront it so that we do everything possible for the benefit of our country. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I just need us to wrap up this meeting. You have summed properly. You've done the summary of the meeting, Chairperson. Safe to say that I need to again confirm the members who have attended this meeting. I will just call names. Don't tell me you know whatever, because we've done that. Starting from the NCOP, yourself, Chairperson, Honorable Mika Lakis, Honorable Mtamai, Honorable Mtetwa, Honorable Mfayela, Honorable Sheikh, Honorable Mola, Honorable Zandamela, and Honorable Sileku. Did I omit somebody?
Honorable Mita.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And Honorable Ngita. Okay. And then at on the NA side, you have Honorable Hussein, Honorable Brink, Honorable Opperman, Honorable Mkalipi, Honorable Keza, Honorable Hadebe, Honorable Mpumza, Honorable Sohu, Honorable Mamkize. Did I omit somebody? No one. Inkosi Lutuli, my apologies again. That is it. Yes. Then that, and then Honorable Klute also was attending the meeting. Yes, from the NCOP. So then that.
And Honorable Mukalipi.
I've done that.
Mukalipi. You must understand when Komisa, you must call him twice.
Yeah. We need to listen to the president, So colleagues, chairperson of the delegation board and the deputy Ms. Muyeni, the CEO and the CFO, including deputy minister Tau, we want to thank you for attending this meeting and for the inputs and the responses that were eloquent to the committee's content. So we want to thank you for your time. And then next time, Chairman, you come with your tracksuit, I'm not going to allow you to participate in this meeting. Those are the rules of the virtual meeting. We're going to send them to you so that you understand. But we want to appreciate you for coming and also sharing with us the progress. So we will be looking forward to this, the maintenance of the clean audit. This is your own target that you put. So we'll make sure that we're going to observe that with keen interest to say, well done for the clean audit and for the commitment that you are going to maintain the clean audit. Otherwise, the meeting gets adjourned, colleagues. Till we meet tomorrow, the NA colleagues, we are meeting tomorrow to deal with the COVID, the response on this, the metros. We are meeting the city of Johannesburg, city of Cape Town and the Japan, a metro. Members of the NCOP will be free. They are free to join us because we want them to brief us on their response to this COVID-19 pandemic. You know that these are the ones that where there's a lot of problems in the cities. So we'll be meeting tomorrow. And then the joint committee is meeting again on Friday from 18 hours up to 21 hours. To consider the report of the CRL Rights Commission. That is the approval we got from the House. Okay. We're going to be meeting on Friday as a joint committee. Thank you so much, colleagues. The meeting gets adjourned. Let's go and listen to the president as he addresses the nation. Thank you. Meeting adjourned. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. You have been a great co-chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.